Good morning. I'm Todd Zwillick. I'm here with John Hockenberry. The G8 meeting of world leaders kicks off today in L'Aquila, Italy. And the big news from this morning is that Chinese President Hu Jintao has left the meeting to go back to his country to deal with ethnic strife between Chinese Uyghurs and Han Chinese, clashes there. His departure leaves behind a big debate, though, about how to deal with climate change. The Chinese are key in this debate. So are the Indians. Neither of them is a member of the G8, but they're still incredibly important. It's the first time climate change has had this much prominence in a major meeting of international leaders. And here to tell us what climate news we can expect from this week's summit is Jason Burnett. He's a former official at the Environmental Protection Agency, where he was in charge of climate change and energy policy. He's now founder of Burnett Eco Energy, a company that funds clean energy projects. He joins us from Carmel, California. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, John.
Good morning. So Barack Obama walks into the room at the G8 with something that no other president before him has either wanted to have or could get, even if they wanted it. And that's major progress on a climate change bill at home. We're not there yet, but he's got something on the table to show to the EU leaders. Does that help their attitude towards us, do you think, on reaching a final agreement on global carbon levels and temperature?
I think it does. I think it changes the game in the international negotiations. It's very hard for a U.S. president to commit to something internationally and then bring it back to the U.S. Congress and ask them to rubber stamp it. That's just not the way our Congress works. And so instead, we're seeing action first at the domestic level. And I think it's only after we see more domestic action that we'll be able to commit to an aggressive emission reduction goal in the international context.
Okay, now, Jason Burnett, I think you probably know what you're talking about in this regard. You were a EPA official in the Bush administration, and you quit, right, under protest that you couldn't get your climate change work done under the previous administration. Is that right?
That's right. We had developed a response to a Supreme Court case and found that greenhouse gases endanger the public and therefore require regulation. And that's
right.
Significant because, as I said, we need to have action first domestically before the U.S. will be able to engage in a really substantive way in the international discussion.
Okay, but in the international discussion, of course, the Europeans are worried that the U.S. is off cutting side deals with China. We mentioned that Hu Jintao has left the meeting because he has domestic concerns between Han Chinese and Uyghurs of his own. But the Europeans are upset that we're off cutting side deals with the Chinese on carbon that's going to leave them out of the loop and leave them out of potential major industrial deals. Is that a major hurdle at this meeting?
I don't think so. I think the important point is that the Chinese really are taking action. They may resist the sort of commitments that they want the U.S. and they want Europe to take, but in fact, they are doing a lot domestically themselves. They're investing a huge amount in their equivalent of a stimulus package in green energy. In fact, over twice as much as what the U.S. has invested in clean energy in the stimulus package.
Have they committed to carbon reductions, a number?
They haven't, and for that matter, neither has the U.S. But the point is they are taking concrete actions that are reducing emissions, and the U.S. is taking concrete actions on reducing emissions.
Well,
and I think that that's what needs to happen first before any of the major economies will commit to something internationally. They need to have demonstrated that they have the ability to actually get something through their domestic political system and begin reducing emissions before they will be willing to commit to those emission reductions in an international context.
But Jason, hang on. It's almost the opposite from the view in Washington, because there are plenty of senators, moderate Democrats especially, who are saying the opposite of what you're saying, which is I'm not voting for major reductions in carbon for something that's going to hamper agriculture or industry in my state until I know that there's an agreement with China or India that they'll reduce carbon. There's no point in the United States doing this unless big polluters in Asia and the subcontinent do it first. So it seems like they're loggerheads.
Well, if we think back to what happened during the Clinton administration in the development of the Kyoto Protocol, we can see why it's important to get the order of domestic action first and then international action. In the development of the Kyoto Protocol, the U.S. helped negotiate that protocol, and then the Clinton administration brought it back home and realized it was dead on arrival. It wasn't even worth submitting to the Senate for ratification because we didn't have the domestic political support for doing it, and the Senate didn't want to be seen as a rubber stamp something that had been agreed to internationally.
You've made that point, Jason Burnett, former associate deputy administrator for the EPA. I guess it sounds like the argument you are making, and it seems to be the takeaway from this conversation, is that you don't even support the G8 being a place to resolve this, that you're actually much more comfortable with side deals between the U.S. and China or a side deal between the U.S. and India, that in fact that's the only way to get this entire process started.
Well, I think the reason that we're more likely to see progress this time is that we now have domestic action in the U.S., we have domestic action in China, we have domestic action in the EU countries. And because we already have that action, countries will be more comfortable signing up for some sort of commitment in the international progress addendum process. It needs to be an iteration where we first take action domestically and then we commit to some of that action internationally, and then maybe we come back and commit to additional domestic action.
Right.
And that's, I think, how we're going to see this play out. We've already taken some action domestically in the U.S. We're likely to take more over the next several years.
And the one country we mentioned, the U.S. and Europe and China, and the one country we didn't mention where there's action is India. That's going to be key in the United States Senate as they talk about climate change legislation into the fall. Jason Burnett, former associate administrator, deputy administrator at the EPA in the Bush administration, a climate official, joining us to comment on the G8 meeting and climate curbs that they hope will come out of that meeting. He's not confident, John.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.